Blog Talk Radio.
I want to be in the park. I wanna
be near
the cross.
Where my face on a hill. So lonely.
Passion for Christ, a spiritually enlightening call-in internet radio broadcast of the Grace View Church of Christ in beautiful Anderson, South Carolina, with Minister Brian C. Jones. The Grace View Church of Christ in Anderson meets at 918 West Whitner Street at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning for life-changing worship service and 7 p.m. each Thursday for life transformation Bible study. Saturate your soul with encouraging biblical sermons, morning devotions, dating tips, a cappella concerts, and congregational singing by visiting us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/GraceviewSC or call us anytime at 864-332-7572 for information about the Grace View Church of Christ, Passion for Christ Radio, or any of its other ministries. If you or someone you know has been blessed by this broadcast and would like to donate financial resources to ensure the continuation of Passion for Christ Radio and Passion for Christ Television broadcast, you may give a tax-deductible donation online at www.graceviewcoc.com by clicking on the Donate tab. If you have a question or a prayer request, please dial number 1 on your telephone, and when the last 4 digits of your telephone number has been called, state your name, question, or prayer request. You can also email us at graceviewcoc@gmail.com for questions or other information. Now stay tuned as Minister Brian C. Jones gives a practical biblical lesson from principles in the Word of God tonight.
Good evening again and welcome to Passion for Christ. I am your host, Brian C. Jones, minister of the Grace View Church of Christ here in beautiful Anderson, South Carolina. And I'm absolutely elated to be with you on this broadcast tonight. Text 5 people right now. Put something on Facebook. Let them know they need to log on to Passion for Christ. We're going to bless your life even on tonight. Our devotion's title is Love is Bubbling Over in My Heart. I hope you could say that with complete confidence. Our scriptural exhortation will come from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and it reads in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let me explain that to you. In the first line of the A clause in verse 7, John, the writer, encourages Christians to love one another. That's why he says, let us, he includes himself, love one another. It is amazing that Christians have to be told to love each other, which simply suggests that there are Christians and churches and congregations everywhere that have an issue with loving each other, which makes it so difficult for people to be attracted to our fellowship because they're looking for love. And then if they experience a congregation that does not love, then they won't be attracted to our fellowship. You see, it is difficult even for Christians who have been receiving love from God ever since they were born again to love each other. So we have to be encouraged. That's what John is doing, because he urged them to love one another. Notice the rest of the text here. So interesting. And notice what he says, for love is from God. That means God is the originator of love. The origin of love is from God. And it says, and everyone who loves is born of God, which means that love identifies that a believer has experienced a spiritual birth, because everyone who loves is born of God. So when a person demonstrates love, it identifies that a believer has had a spiritual birth. And the opposite is true as well. When a person does not love, it signifies that you have not been born again, because he says that everybody who loves has been born of God. And then it says, and knows God, knows God. So love signifies that you have a relationship with God. And the opposite is true as well. If you don't love, it signifies that we don't have a relationship with God. For everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So do you see the attachment there? This suggests to us and encourages us to know that the identifying traits of believers are ones who love. Because when you love people and you love one another, it says that you have been born again of God. It also suggests that you have been in a relationship with God and you know God. Notice the next verse in verse number 8, the one who does not love. This is the person who just will not love people. They are not struggling with love. They do not love people. So it says the one who does not love does not know God. So love is something that must be demonstrated to identify and signify that you even know God. And I think that's interesting that we understand, because he says, for God is love, the very nature of who our Creator is. He is love. So this view of God as being a God who wants to do evil things to people and bring people down, that is not what God is trying to do. Can I tell you that God is looking down on each one of us right now, and he wants us to understand how much he cares, how much he loved us. And I'm going to give you three things shortly to help you see that God is a God of love. And God loves because he is love. So love demonstrates love. Love is love, and love demonstrates love. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about God, because God is a loving God. He is a kind God. He is a beautiful God, that all he wants to do is get his children, who he has loved, to see that we need to love him. And the more we love him, once we have been born again, and the more we know him, the more we'll demonstrate love for one another. Now, let's get this out on the record in the radio tonight. Love has nothing to do with what you say. Love has everything to do with what you do, because love is a behavioral disposition of heart. That means love is when your heart has been set, your mind is made, that you're going to display love every day to everyone you possibly can. That means that it is a behavioral, in your behavior, your mind is set to demonstrate and give love. Why? Because that is who you are. Your father is love. So that means the offspring of love, the father's children, must also be lovers. And love is about demonstrating. It's about giving. It's about caring. It's about sharing. It's about showing that you're there, showing that you will give, showing that you will participate, showing that you will do something for somebody. It is crazy how we think that on Valentine's Day, that you could be dignified by doing something for someone special one day a year, and then you get validated for that. In 364 days, you can simply do nothing and people accept it. It is amazing. My thing is, on one end, I'm confused because I do think it's a good thing for people who don't regularly demonstrate love to do it at least one time a year. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, why would somebody accept a person only demonstrating love to you once a year? It is foolish to me. However, this whole thing is not about Valentine's. It is about demonstrating love, because the context into which we're referring to, John is trying to help believers know that there are some spirits out there in the world that will tell you that Christ is not who God says he is, because God has testified that Jesus came in the flesh and Jesus is who he is. But there are some spirits out there, namely the Antichrist, that will say that Jesus did not come in the flesh when Jesus did come in the flesh. So he talks about testing the spirit to see whether they are from God or not, and letting them know that greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world, because God blesses us who have been born again with the gift of the Holy Spirit, which allows us to be like God and demonstrate behavior like God. And when we do that, even though we live in this crooked and corrupt world, we still have to love one another. It is very difficult for people to want to come into our fellowship. And when they come in and they experience being around us in our assemblies, in our congregations, within our churches, and they don't see love being demonstrated. So we have to at least love one another and care for one another and demonstrate love, so that when we go outside of our assembly, then our love that we give to one another then becomes attractive to other people who are outside of our fellowship. And then that will pull them and lure them into our fellowship of love, because they see us loving one another. So you may be asking yourself the question tonight, how can I do this better? How can I demonstrate love? Remember, it's not about what you say, even though I know every day we say this to people whom we love sincerely, and it makes us feel good on the inside. But what would make us feel better if not only we verbalize our love, we demonstrate our love functionally through our behaviors, and God can get the glory, honor, and every bit of the praise. Let me tell you something. God did not need to create us. God did not have to create us, because God is the self-existing one. He's always been existing. He has no beginning. He has no end. God has always existed. As a matter of fact, God didn't even need to create the universe. He was already God. But God tiptoed into time and blessed us and created the universe and created mankind when he formed man from the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Why are you doing that, God? Because God wanted us to become the objects of his love. God wants you and I to be the objects of his love. God didn't need us. So why would God create us? He wanted somebody as love that he could pour his love into. So you and I are the objects of God's love. And let me tell you what God does with the objects of his love. I want you to notice this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Notice what Paul says. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now notice what he says. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So as the objects of God's love, God just pours love in. On Sunday, your love tank may be a little low. The preacher gets in the pulpit, gives you the word of God. You now see that God loves you again, even though you knew it, but now you have a good reminder, and now God is pouring more love. If you're down on Monday, that's okay. All God does is keep pouring love. If you're down on Tuesday, God just pours more love into your heart. I believe that God is the first spiritual bartender, and the good news about God being a spiritual bartender, all he does is keep keep pouring love every day of the week, every day of your life, every time you're low, every time you're down, every time you're crying, every time you're in need. God just keeps pouring, pouring, and you never, ever, ever have to do anything other than give God a tip on Sunday, because all week long, he didn't ask for you to tip him every day. He just said, just tip me once a week as your spiritual bartender, and all I'm going to do is keep pouring love into your heart. Why? Because God created us to be the objects of his love. And then God's love gives us opportunities to love, because of his great love with which he loved us. In Ephesians 2 verse 4 and 5, I found that interesting. Notice what he says. Paul says in Ephesians, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So because of his great love, that's a mega love, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ, and we've been saved by grace. Now notice verse 10 of Ephesians 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. As the objects of his love, God's love gives us opportunities to love. Why? Because we are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. When you wake up in the morning, just know that if you're willing to walk in some good works, God has already prepared them for you. There's going to be a person at your job that you can walk into a good work and do something to help that person. There's going to be somebody in your family that you could do something good for them. All God has done is created us to be his workmanship. So our identity as believers should be that of ones who work and love one another. And every time there's an opportunity for us to love, we take advantage of it, because we are the objects of his love. And as the objects of his love, he gives us opportunities to love. And the last thing I want to tell you, God's love gives us an obligation to love. When you appreciate the greatest demonstration of love ever, that is the cross, and your appreciation of God sending Jesus to die on the cross, I believe should give us an obligation to love as God's objects of love, and as the believers to whom God has given opportunities to love. I want you to know that Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. While yet we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. It is amazing when you see the totality of the depth of the cross and how God redeemed wretches. God is a wretch redeemer, because you and I were wretches, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7. But when you see the depth of God's love and what God has done for us, you should feel obligated to love. Because God, being love, loved us unconditionally. The word there is agape, which means that kind of love is a unconditional love. It is not based on meeting any kind of criteria, any kind of conditions, any kind of thing that would negate a person from loving you. The kind of love that God loves us with is that agape love. It is that unchanging, unwavering love. It is that deep love where there's nothing that you could do to stop God from loving you, because God has simply made an executive decision as love, as being God, that he will love us even while yet we were sinners. He sent his only son to die on our behalf just so that we could have the opportunity to experience his love by really understanding and appreciating the nature of salvation. And when you study soteriology, the study of salvation, it becomes quite clear that God demonstrated a kind of love so that he could save us that he wants us to demonstrate to other people. You have to get to the point of your Christianity at some point, and we have to learn to do this because this is not natural. This is a spiritual kind of operation that God wants us to perform in terms of loving one another and the world. You have to make up your mind that you're just going to love people. You're not going to let them run all over you. You're not going to let them belittle you. But when you have opportunities as the objects of God, you're going to demonstrate some love. You're going to help people when you can. You're going to be committed to your church. You're going to be at the church every time the doors are open. And the reason why many of our churches are not where we could be is because we have not gotten enough people to really, really demonstrate love for one another. I know that there are people I'm responsible for their teaching, I'm responsible for their guidance, and I'm responsible for leading them. So I have some responsibilities to love the people who God has loved. So if God loves a person that you don't like, God says, since I loved you when you weren't likable, I want you to love them when they're not likable. You have to love them. And when you appreciate what God has done for you, you ought to feel obligated to love. There's some people that you have to love knowing that they don't love you. And when you say that's hard, well, think about how hard it was for God to love you when you were running amok, when you were God knows where, with God knows who, with God knows what, and saying God knows what. But God saw you was in a corner. You were in a corner crying on your knees, doing all kinds of things, knowing that you were depressed because sin had you in a terrible state. But God saw something in you that you did not even see in yourself. And because if you have really grown to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and have relationship with him and walk and talk with him and appreciate the blood sacrifice that Jesus had, never even sinned before in his life, became a perfect sacrifice for a wretch like you and me, you ought to feel obligated to love. So John says, beloved, let us love one another. It is not to call somebody on the phone and say you love them. That's good, but we got to go deeper than that. We got to do something. We have to demonstrate that love. That's all I got for you tonight. I hope and pray that I have more word for you, but I have to let you go. But I hope and pray that you just make up your mind right now. And I don't know who God may be pricking your heart to think in your mind right now that you need to be loving, but you have to love each other as Christians in the body of Christ. If we don't love one another, how in the world can we expect for other people that want to be saved and come into an unloving fellowship? And I'm challenging you right now. I'm challenging myself. I'm challenging myself to be a better husband, to be a better preacher, to be a better evangelist, a better teacher, a better lover of humanity, and a better lover of mankind. And I believe that if I could love better, me personally, the world would be a better place. So I challenge you to do the same thing, and I hope and pray that this has blessed your life. If we could pray for you, dial number one right now on your phone, and when the last four digits of your number has been called, take the name of the need of the person to whom you're requesting prayers for. Here's your application. Love one another. God bless you tonight. Caller ending in 5249, you're on the air live now. Please state your prayer request at this time, please.
Brother Jones, thank you for the lesson on love, for we all need it because sometimes we fail to do that. Asking prayer for a couple of friends. The heart condition. It seems to be getting better, but the blood pressure is still on up and down. And the other one has the flu. She's older. So we pray that she gain her strength back and be rid of the flu. We're praying for my family, your family, and just keep on doing good. I appreciate your lessons each and every week. Thank you.
Sister Anderson, we certainly appreciate you. Love is bubbling over in my heart hearing you tonight, and we certainly will keep you and your family and those people in prayer, and we thank you for your weekly support. God bless you tonight. We'll keep those people in prayer. Caller ending in 2341, you're on the air live now. Please state your prayer request at this time, please.
I just asking for prayer that I'll be able to love as God always intended and grow in that love. And thank you for the lesson tonight, Brother Jones.
Hey, thank you, Brother Edwards, with us from Texas tonight. Brother, we certainly appreciate you, and we will pray for you that you could do that. And we certainly appreciate you being with us tonight. Caller ending in 8952. You're on the air live now. Please state your prayer request at this time.
Hi, Brother Jones. Hi, everyone. I want to thank you for a very powerful message there. We must demonstrate love among one another and how we expect others to come in. Amen. Thank you so much for the lesson. Continue to pray for the Waynesboro Church of Christ. And I'm also asking prayers for the mind on Reggie Brown. Thanks.
Thank you, Sister Brown. We appreciate your encouragement. We'll keep you and the Waynesboro Church of Christ and Mr. Brown in prayer as well. Thank you for being with us. Caller ending in 5052, you're on the air live now. Please state your prayer request at this time.
Yes, hello, Brother Jones. Thank you so much for the – hello, Brother Brian. Thank you so much for the lesson. I want to request prayer for my son. He hurt his back. Having a backache, and praying that he'll come back to the faith. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll certainly be praying for you and your son tonight, and we appreciate your encouragement. Caller ending in 5942, you're on the air live now. Please state your prayer request. Caller ending in 5942, you're on the air live now. Please state your prayer request at this time.
Hi, my name is Reggie. Sister Gilda, she asked for a prayer for me. And, you know, today is a special day for me. Today is my birthday. And I mean, like, I mean, every year I just take time out to try to change myself for the better. And I mean, this year was one of the worst birthdays ever. You know, there's a lot of personal issues going on. And, I mean, I just, y'all, please pray for me. I'm trying to do the right things. And I enjoyed your lesson.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Happy birthday to you. Please get my phone number from Sister Brown, and I would like to help you if I can. With what little knowledge I have, I would like to give that to you if I can help you in any way. But I certainly want to give God praise for allowing you to have another year. And I believe things will get better for you. But thank you for tuning in tonight. Just know you'll be prayed for in just a moment. We want to thank all of you for being with us tonight and hanging on the line for as long as you did. We certainly appreciate you. We hope that we've encouraged you, and we want you to pray a special prayer tonight for one of our own, our sister Lee. Sharon Lee lost a loved one, a child, a granddaughter. So we have heavy hearts tonight for her family. So we want you to keep Sister Lee and her family in prayer at the loss of a granddaughter. She was 5 years old, and it is just very difficult to get that kind of news. But we know that God will send the comforter, and he will bless her, and he will bless you, he'll bless me, and he'll bless our families. And he'll bless us to get through whatever we have to get through. And we know that God is able to strengthen us. He's done it before. We know that he'll do it again. We just have to continue to love him, love one another, and trust in our God. We have the best God in the world. There's no God like our God. And there's no church like our church. And there's no Jesus like our Jesus. And I believe God has given us the best. And I want us to be encouraged to live our best and do our best and lean upon God. Tonight, we have one of our prayer warriors here at the Grace View Church of Christ in Anderson. Brother Marwish Waller is on the line tonight, and he's going to close us out in a brief devotional prayer. So, Brother Wallace, all yours. Take us away. God bless all of you for tuning in to Passion for Christ tonight. Brother Wallace.
Let us bow. Dear gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we come once again just to say thank you. We thank you for your grace and mercy, for giving us the opportunity to get things right on the time side of life with you, Heavenly Father. We pray at this time that we will demonstrate your love for each and every one of us by demonstrating it through being able to love those that are around us, despite the fact that they may have done us wrong or mistreated us or someone around us, Heavenly Father. We know that we can't get forgiveness until we learn how to forgive ourselves. So at this time, allow us to open our hearts and love one another with the love that you have for the church. Allow us, Heavenly Father, just to continue to pray for one another, to continuously support one another and encourage one another as we go through our trials and tribulations. But most importantly, Heavenly Father, allow us the opportunity to be placed in front of people that have receptive hearts so that we may share your wonderful word, which is the gospel, the good news, Heavenly Father, knowing and understanding that as Christians, our lights need to shine so that others may see you through us, Heavenly Father. But not only that, Heavenly Father, just allow us to continue to walk in the path that you've set before us. Yes, Heavenly Father, we know that being a Christian is not a guaranteed easy path. And for that reason, Heavenly Father, for all of us, we need to just remember that everything that we've been through, you've always been with us. You've always provided us with an opportunity or a way to escape the problem. And we didn't understand how you did it, Heavenly Father, but we knew it was you that did it because you have always looked out for your children as long as they stayed obedient in your word. At this time, Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone that is on this prayer call that had spoken a prayer request. Heavenly Father, be with each and every one of us as we may be dealing with some type of physical ailment, some type of emotional ailment, a financial ailment, or whatever that ailment is, Heavenly Father, we know that if we place our cares and burdens at your feet and leave them there, that you'll take care of them in a manner in which you get all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We send a special prayer at this time for Sister Lee as she's going through bereavement. Be with her family. Heavenly Father, we know that you are the Prince of Peace and that you can provide a comfort. So at this time, we ask that you just send your finger of love in that direction, Heavenly Father, and for any other family that may be suffering through bereavement at this time. And let them know, Heavenly Father, that although they are suffering right now from pain, from losing a loved one, that, Heavenly Father, you don't make a mistake in that there was a reason that we're going through this right now. It's to rally around one another as a family and support one another. Be with our minister and the ministers throughout this land and country as they stand firmly on your word. Allow them to continue to study your word in such a manner, Heavenly Father, that they can understand it and feed your sheep, Heavenly Father, so that we may continuously grow and mature. As we depart from this call, Heavenly Father, just allow each and every last one of us to continue to love one another, Heavenly Father. Just continue to demonstrate that love, even though it may be difficult at times. We know, Heavenly Father, that we are difficult to deal with at times, but yet you continue to still bless and love us. In your son's name we pray and we ask all his blessings. Let us all say, amen.
Concentrate on the things you learn and obey his best command.
He'll receive you, yeah.
He'll receive you with all
open arms. Say the Lord
is there to take your hand.
To the angels in heaven.
Church of Christ would like to thank each person on this call tonight for your attention to this most important matter of salvation and for extending your prayer request to God as well. We pray that the biblical principles from God's Word tonight have helped you understand who God is and what He would have us to do. Join us next week and persuade someone new to join us as we discuss the wisdom in the Word of God on Passion for Christ at 9 p.m. with Minister Brian C. Jones. In keeping with the mandate given in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, to his disciples by Jesus Christ, We urge you to go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. May God bless you and have a blessed night.